Sports Volt Podcast. Jay Reed. We back with another hot edition. And of course, I got my man B in the building.
Yo, what's up?
Yes, sir. We're back with another one, man. It's a lot going on. You know we got it started off with the number one hottest topic, the breaking news, man, is just been released over the course of the last few days, man. Antonio Brown back in the headlines, but this time for all the wrong reasons, all the craziest reasons right now. I mean, the allegations have been released. There's some pretty serious allegations. I know you heard of these allegations, man. It's a real serious topic, man. How you feel?
It's sensitive, man. It's definitely real sensitive. They're saying there's a lot of evidence. I definitely don't wish nothing bad on Antonio Brown, but it's a real sticky situation, man. He's got a lot. He's got a lot of controversy going on around him right now. It's just like, I don't know, man. Could this have been set up for all this at this exact moment? Could this be how were they saying it? A money chase? What was the term they said?
They're calling it a money grab.
Money grab.
I mean, those were the words that his agent used, Drew Rosenhaus. He's calling it a money grab. Basically calling it a plot to extort this man for some cash. His trainer, she's the one being former trainer, I should say, she's the one being accused in this situation. I mean, the accuser in this situation. Antonio Brown, new to the New England Patriots. This is a tight, sticky situation that could land him off the field for the entire season. I mean, it's not looking too good. We're gonna have to see how this plays itself out, man. I mean, what do you think the punishments that should be right off the bat to really kind of like enforce how serious of an issue this is?
Well, it's a serious issue, but I don't think a punishment should be made just yet because it's just simply an accusation. They're talking about it, but I think they need to go to like concrete evidence, and they have to definitely let this case run its course. And if it's the truth, then I mean then, and he's convicted or whatever the case may be, I think the NFL should definitely wait to have this trial be taken care of before they give him a punishment, because if he's innocent and they give him a punishment, then I don't think that's fair to Antonio Brown, because he didn't do anything wrong to the judge's eye. And if the judge says that, he should definitely be reprimanded for that. But I think the NFL should just wait and let the judicial system take care of this before they make their decision against him.
Okay, I can definitely agree with that point of view. We are going to have to let this situation play itself out. The only thing I'm concerned about right now is the NFL trying to make send a message by you know getting out in front of this for PR purposes, just to sideline Antonio Brown. He's been taking a lot of heat in the media, and I feel like the NFL could be targeting him to put him on the sideline for this season, just to send a message that, this kind of behavior and this kind of spotlight, everything, all eyes on me, that behavior. I don't think that they're really into his behavior that he's been displaying this off season. And I think now it might have finally caught up to him. I mean, I'm team Antonio Brown, team AB for sure, man. I mean, I love his talent. I love who he is as a father and as a person, man. But when you're dealing with the brand of the NFL, I know they're going to look to protect that. They're going to put that brand before Antonio Brown, before his brand of Antonio Brown. So we're definitely going to have to see, what kind of punishment. Everybody's looking into this right now. It is very early, in the stages of this. The news is really new. the NFL is actually considering putting him on the exempt list. I mean, you know, the wide receiver is accused of, you know, of raping his former trainer. The lawsuit was filed on Tuesday. If he's placed on this list, Brown would be paid, but he wouldn't be eligible to play or practice. Now, it's unclear whether the league will make a decision before New England's next game, a Sunday matchup with the Miami Dolphins. That's potentially placing Brown on the list is something that the NFL is going to have to focus on, according to, you know, one of the sources that's been quoted. So it's already been thrown around a possible punishment for something that's not yet been proven. So that kind of goes against your whole theory of waiting it out until something's proven.
It's crazy because they're, not only is this happening, but because of this and like what's been going on with him in Oakland and his history at Pittsburgh, it's all being taken into account for, especially making this decision. So if the NFL does it, it's going to be a tough it's going to be a tough decision because they can't blame it on something that he hasn't been convicted of yet. It doesn't make sense, you know what I mean? And I think that's why they're like considering it, but they have to like really think about this decision because are they really going to put it against him just being accused of something or like not actually doing something? Or because of what how he's been treating these organizations like Pittsburgh and Oakland. I don't know, man. I don't think they should let him play, unfortunately, if to be fair.
They should let him play before anything is actually proven, especially since his agent took the SportsCenter and said that he's very confident that his client will be cleared of all rape allegations. He said his client Antonio Brown takes all these allegations very seriously. He's a father of five children, including a daughter, along with a wife. He said that he wouldn't even be doing this interview if he didn't believe in his innocence. These are one of the most serious allegations that you can ever be accused of. But he said he's very confident that his legal team is going to uncover the facts. And that that's when he used the term money grab. And he keeps advising everybody to, you know, let this play itself out. And that, you know, the truth is going to, you know, come out and, you know, all the facts will be revealed. And that he's not going to miss any time off the field. They do have a game coming up this Sunday. Now, Antonio was on the field. He practiced with the Patriots for the first time on Wednesday. Of course, the cameras and the media was out there, but it looks like it's going to be carried on as business as usual on the field. But these type of allegations that are off the field is definitely going to cloud his performance if he actually makes it onto the field on Sunday, which I feel like at this point is really up in the air. I think they're going to have a decision over the course of the next 2 or 3 days. Definitely before this game on Sunday, they're definitely going to make a decision on whether he should play. The decision is going to be made before Sunday's game, and that might set the tone for the season. You know, if they're talking about putting him on this list, if enough GMs and owners and managers get together, I mean, you know, the majority rules. So if they feel like this is a cause of distraction for the league and it's bad for the brand. Now once it plays itself out in the judicial system or however, you know, the legal process is going to be, you know, implied in this matter. But, you know, that's what I want to wait for. But, you know, I think a fast decision is going to come in the next couple of days.
Yeah. I could definitely see him making a decision. Probably you wouldn't be surprised if they make it right before game time. You see him on the sideline with the uniform on. It's tough, man. I'm telling you, like, man, these allegations are serious, man. Did you hear about the details? And she's talking about she was in a relationship, getting married.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what was going on the first time he, like, tried to kiss her?
Yeah.
Second time he, like, exposed himself and then, like...
Graphic.
Yeah. Pretty intense, man. That's a... Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. I don't know, man. And she's saying she's having evidence. I don't know, man.
Yeah, there's that the email. It was an email. You know, when you put emails out there, when you send things out to people, of course, everything's saved. Everything's in the cloud. So nothing goes unsaved or unstored. She does have evidence. You know, that's why her allegations are being taken seriously. And we definitely want to, you know, make sure that we're, you know, giving all the, you know, respect to the accuser in this situation. Because, you know, we don't know the facts for sure. So we definitely want to be sensitive to all sides and situations. But, you know, she has evidence. She has emails, statements that her lawyers.
Yeah, man, I don't know, man.
You give that to some lawyers and they can use that to basically get
they can
to get an indictment, you know. You know, it's really graphic in nature. I mean, my thing is,
I don't know, man. It's intense. It's a lot, man. You gotta think, like, it's a lot going on.
You know, when it rains, it pours. You know, it's a lot going on. The timing, that's what. Now, whether the truth of the allegation, I don't think that's, you know, really, you know, for me to debate, us to debate whether it's true or not, you know.
Right.
I'm just more concerned with the timing, like why right now? If the allegations, you know, in 2017, 2018, we're now in 2019, and it's just a real eerie time that, you know, that he's released from the Raiders. I was actually talking to somebody today who believes that maybe the Raiders could have possibly had inside intel on these allegations coming down the pipeline.
No way.
And got ahead of it. They made moves to start clearing themselves of any obligations to give him guaranteed money. They issued a fine right after he went into the office and had a talk with the GM. Then when they issued the fine, that eliminates his guaranteed money right off the bat. Then the next day he's released. So, you know, this, you know, over the helmet, when the coaches were saying the whole time that they were in support, you know, Gruden came out to the press, oh, AB, he's the man, he's, you know, he's, we can't wait to get him here, we support him with this helmet issue. He's released the whole time. Then, you know, the timeline with AB has been crazy, man. Then he winds up, you know, with the Patriots, and you know, with a Patriots uniform on, who they've been trying to get him the whole time while he was a Pittsburgh Steelers via trade, but they never could make the deal work. And before he actually gets to step, right before he steps on the field to turn the page and turn a chapter in his life, here come these allegations. I mean, why right now? These is from 2 years ago. This is 2017. And she reportedly went back after a conversation where he convinced her to come back.
Yeah, man, it's like power manipulation, man. I don't know, man. It's tough. You're right. Like, you can't tell, like, if it's true or not. I don't know what went down. Maybe they, I heard she was supposedly in his emails about some money. There's a lot. It's gym. Like, it's about, I don't know, man. It's crazy. So I don't think that she should be, like, I don't think that, like, she should have just waited to this time. Like, for her to wait this long is a little, It's a little tough, but maybe yeah. But like as she was saying, it was for her personally, it was tough to come out with this information. Imagine just being on the end of that other end of the stick, like you were saying, like, and just process, like, it's tough to see, like, and she was saying she was getting married, and oh man, it's just crazy, man. She said her boyfriend proposed to her like 2 weeks before this happened, or 2 weeks after it happened. It's crazy, man. I don't get it, man. I
think they're saying that their relationship, it was professional. Now during from what I read in the email, it seemed like there was a certain acts that were going on that she believes, that she was unaware of. That, you know, if you're not in a personal relationship or with someone, the type of things that were described shouldn't be going on. So that's definitely up for question right now. Like you know, I said before, we don't know either side. Was their relationship professional? She's saying it was, you know, just professional. These emails look like it could have possibly been on another level. You know, we don't know for sure. I think that the details are so personal, so graphic for you to take it to a level with that person that you don't have a personal relationship. You know, if he did take it there with somebody, that just makes this, you know, the one of the craziest things I heard in a very long time. And I hope that when the smoke and the clouds clear, that Antonio Brown is cleared and freed of all these, you know, horrible, vicious allegations of, you know, raping a woman, which is definitely a terrible, terrible crime. And I just want to see Antonio Brown back on the field doing what he does best, and that's, you know, performing at an extremely high level. I think he can catch 100 passes in his sleep. I think he has 1,000 yards in his back pocket, you know, all day. And, you know, it's a disappointing start to what was a pretty exciting weekend. You know, all across the board, man, this jump off to this season was exciting, man. I know it's a few games that stood out in your mind this weekend, man. What games stood out in your mind? What you catch? What performance, any performances, any games that stand out to you this weekend?
Oh, yeah, man, I definitely, you know, man, Jersey hometown, so went over to a friend's house, and I was able to catch the Eagles, man. And, yeah, man, that was definitely a good game. They were slow at the beginning, but, man, they brought it the second half, man. I'm definitely like the connection that Carson Wentz and Deshaun Jackson's actually developing. I see that is just opening up the field a bit more between him. We got Alshon Jeffrey on the other side. We can have them both together, them splitting. Zach Ertz, I mean, Aguilar's there. I mean, it's definitely a lot of options. I think the Eagles are good right now. I think the defense could definitely develop a little bit more, man. That's probably only a weak side, I would say, from watching that game against the Redskins. It was a good game for the Eagles. They definitely showed some fourth quarter mentality, which is very important. It's just definitely a Super Bowl mentality. They're not definitely thinking about winning the first half. It's about winning the whole game. So that's definitely real, real important. So yeah, man, shout out to the Eagles, man. I think that's probably the better game I watched this weekend.
Okay, well, you know, I'm an Eagles fan all day. You know, we bleed green around these parts. So I definitely watched the game from start to finish. I think that we're going to these type of games are going to take place a lot with us playing from behind. We're definitely a second half team. For whatever reason, we get off to very slow starts. I think we're going to play from behind a lot. So, you know, Eagles fans are definitely going to be in for a roller coaster ride, but it's going to have a good ending. We're going to win a lot of games, but it's going to be high scoring, but we're a second half team. I think we're going to turn it on in the second half. Now the defensive side, like you said, needs improvement. A major injury to Malik Jackson on the defensive line, out for the season. But we're going to have Jernigan step in and take his place along with Fletcher Cox. But Graham, where I think we need to improve is definitely in the secondary. We were a little exposed. We have some small cornerbacks that have a tendency to get dominated by bigger wide receivers. So that's definitely going to have to tighten up, because we're going to have some big wide receivers that comes, and we're going to have to definitely be able to guard them. On the offensive side, it's crazy. We got so many weapons, man. Like Nelson Aguilar, man, he's not even really at his full, you know, usage rate. And, you know, he still was able to be involved, man. If we can figure out how to, you know, use him with Deshaun Jackson, because I think that their roles are similar in the offense, except for Deshaun Jackson came back and fit right back in like he never left. We thought that the finger injury was going to hold him back, man. But, you know, but nah, he's too tough. He takes the top off the defense. Carson Wentz looked good. You know, we look strong, man. We had a nice running game, nice running attack. But, you know, if we can get off to better starts, I think that translates to the Super Bowl mentality, is when we can just, you know, step on teams early and put them to rest early. Because, you know, everybody's going to be gunning for the Eagles, because, you know, we got championship aspirations. We don't have to deal with Odell no more, because he's out of the division. But of course, this is my man right here, OBJ. Got the Richie Millie. It's all kinds of pronunciations for the Richie Millie on his wrist. I heard it was worth $190K. I heard it was $250. I heard it was $350. The league has said he can't play with this on his wrist. They've deemed it a hard object. He says that he's going to play with this on his wrist next week anyway. How do you feel about OBJ with the Richie Millie on his wrist during the game?
It's Mr. Nice Watch now is what he's going by. Watch was sick, man. The uniforms was sick. But the performance was so sick. It almost made me throw up, man. I was really disappointed in the performance, man. I don't care if you got a watch on, man. The watch is cool, man. You can look good, but it's like, man, you gotta play good at the end of the day, man. I know you look good, feel good, play good, man. I hear all that, but at the end of the day, you gotta perform. I think he went for like 7 catches at 70 something yards. I mean, like we've seen him at New York, but now he's in Cleveland, man. I need him to bring it, man. I know they're a new team and this is just the first game, but I'm still pulling for him, and I definitely think he has to develop a better relationship with Baker Mayfield. I think he has to like just kind of fall back and recognize that like the quarterback really is the leader on the field. Odell is definitely a strong presence, but he has to recognize that. Just kind of falling back and letting Baker Mayfield like make strong decisions and kind of lead him. I think the O-line needs to be a little bit stronger in protecting Baker Mayfield and definitely buying him more time to hit his targets. They work on that, and I think the Cleveland Browns will have a better season.
They're going to have to turn it around if they want to have a better season, man. I mean, they took a loss to not as talented as a team, the Tennessee Titans. They lost 43-13. I believe they got off to a quick lead in that game very early, and then it was all downhill from there, all Titans after that. 43-13 at home is actually an embarrassing loss to start the season. I'm really disappointed. He did have 7 catches for 71 yards out of 11 targets. So, that's a really high percentage. You can't fault him for his performance. The watch on the Richie Millie on his wrist clearly didn't have any effect on his performance, nor did the hip injury that was in question while he was in training camp. Was he going to be able to step on the field and perform at a high level with a pending hip injury? But he's back on the field despite the injury. It's more about this watch. He violated league rules by wearing this watch on the field. So they're going to try to make an example of him. He's claiming if it was any other player that it wouldn't be such a big deal. Now, he's saying that the watch is plastic so that it's not considered a hard item on the field. But, the 3-time Pro Bowler, he's going to hold back to his ways. We all know how OBJ is. The same reason why we love him is the same reason why they hate him. But I think that with this whole watch situation, my personal opinion is I think it's minor to the fact that they came out, not ready to start the season off on the right foot. A lot of people have them predicted to do some real big things with some Super Bowl aspirations. Now, he plans on wearing this luxury watch on the field again. Now, it appears that the warning from the league office isn't going to do anything. He's not going to be scared off by this warning. He's going to wear this watch again. He's going to do what he does. Now, the rules prohibit players from wearing any hard objects on the field. And he's going to stick with that. This is not a hard object, man. I mean, is there any real, what is the point of him wearing this watch on the field besides just to, he's saying it's part of his lifestyle, but a player wearing a $350,000 watch on the field, putting that image out there, do you feel as though it's cocky, as you can do what you want to do? What's the perspective on OBJ with the Richie Millie?
It's a lot in it, I think, from my perspective. I definitely think it's a fashion statement. He's definitely big in fashion. He could fight it for so many more reasons. I mean, it's a real expensive watch. I'm sure if he were to use it to his advantage, he could probably say he's just looking to account his time for when he's running plays, or count his like just count the time that he's on the field. He could use that watch for many reasons for himself, but it's the thing about like professionalism, man, and I think a lot of these younger guys in the NFL have to kind of get a better understanding of that. It's kind of like going to a job and your boss saying like your attire is business appropriate. And you're going in there with, like, casual clothes, you know what I mean? And it's, you still have your job, but it's, like, it's at a point where you're, like, you're not keeping your professionalism because you're not respecting the dress code of the job that you were hired for. And I think these younger players have to respect their contract. I think they have to respect their or the organization that they're working for a little bit more. And it's just, it's definitely evolving entity, because we're definitely wanting the NFL to evolve as well and give our NFL players a lot more opportunity. I don't think this is harmful, but it can be harmful in some places. Mm-hmm. I don't know if maybe him like hitting his wrist and like a tackle could probably affect maybe breaking his wrist. The material, that if it's like glass, if he gets hit on like a shatter, maybe hit somebody in the eye. Okay. It's a lot that can happen with it. The likelihood of it not as great, but I mean, it's kind of like a dress code ordeal, and that's what the league is referring to.
It is definitely a heavy, heavy fashion statement. I believe there was comments released by the designer of the watch that said that they weren't aware of him doing this. But they actually kind of left the door open that says that if he's going to continue to do this, then maybe they can work something out. So don't be surprised if we see they have one athlete I know is Nadal, the tennis player. I believe he's an endorser of the luxury watch. So they definitely have a select group of elite athletes who are on a certain advertising level. I think that Odell definitely fits that brand. I'm all like just similar with LeBron and the Taco Tuesday. I'm all about players capitalizing on smaller markets and medias, for their brand. I read something today with Gronkowski where he said that he never spent the NFL check. He has $54 million saved because he never spent any NFL contract money that the Patriots paid him. He lived his entire career off endorsements alone. So he has his entire NFL contract saved in the bank. I think that's an amazing detailed plan, and whatever financial advisor he was working with, they need to, they need to release that man or that woman's name, because that's a hell of an idea and a hell of a plan. They said he passed on, the cars and the rings and the watches. We always see Gronkowski going out and partying, maybe spending a good time, but never really, with cars and, a bunch of jewelry. So to find out that this man actually saved his NFL money, and just lived off his advertisements is extremely interesting to me. And, something that some more players should look into. But all in all, this week got off to a really great start. A lot of, great notable performances. Deshaun Watson had a heck of a Monday night game, wire to wire with the Saints. The Cowboys, as much as I hate to say this, Zeke stepped back on the field. Half speed. They said they're going to work him back into the mix. The Cowboys, although it be the Giants, we do have to keep this in perspective. It was the Giants, so we got to keep this in perspective, man.
Sorry, Giants fans.
Yeah, we got it. It is what it is. The Giants, they didn't show up. Eli's a statue in the pocket. They might want to think about inserting a young rookie quarterback sooner than later, man. But the Cowboys, when they come to Philly, that's going to be a matchup to really circle on your calendar, because both those teams, they look good. They're going to be battling for the division. One thing that I didn't like this weekend was the tie in Arizona and Detroit. I mean, these ties, man, as a fan, I can't stand to see a game end with a tie. Something has to change. You know, I know they already looked at, they already changed the rules and they let both teams have a possession, so to make it fair, and not let the coin toss really decide it. But something has to change so that they eliminate ties, because I definitely am not a fan of seeing a tie. But besides that, all in all, it was an extremely good weekend. Definitely looking forward to week two. We're definitely going to have the coverage on week two going. The Eagles have another, you know, big matchup within the division. Against the Falcons this Sunday. So, you know, Sunday night football, the Falcons are coming off a loss. They were embarrassed by the Vikings, man. So, you know, it's going to be a tough matchup, man. But I'm definitely looking forward to seeing, you know, how that plays itself out.
Thanks for tuning back in. It's your man B Medina. I got Jay Reed here with me, man. Again, Sports Vote Podcast. We're going to jump right back into NBA, man. We got some, touched on the NFL a little bit, man. We got some definitely interesting topics going around, talks going around the NBA, man. Definitely consider one of the top three best players in the NBA. I think second best, actually. Started at, Seattle Supersonics, turned into OKC, Oklahoma City Thunder. Moved his way on to the Warriors, and now is at number seven, Brooklyn Nets. Kevin Durant, man, J. Reed, man, what we got for him?
Right now, you know, when it rains, it pours. KD seems to be in the headlines for the offseason. It seems to have started early this week when he says that he'll never be attached to Oklahoma City fans after the rage they felt. That stemmed from the decision with him to choose to leave to go to the Golden State Warriors, a team that eliminated them the year before after being down 3-1 in the series. For him to, you know, leave his original team that drafted him to go to a team that, you know, was their biggest competitors, it really rubbed the Oklahoma City Thunder fans the wrong way. So they did some things, said some things. They we're fans, and you know, fans is a short word for fanatic, and you know, fanatic can be a little bit irrational. So of course they said some things and did some things. Kevin Durant is highly sensitive, extremely sensitive. You know, he pays attention to what's said about him. He just can't seem to find a certain, you know, peace of mind. I'm not sure what he's, you know, searching for, but, you know, he's, you know, definitely got some issues with the Oklahoma City fans. You know, I was hoping one day, maybe at the, maybe not even towards the end of his career, but at some point, you know, he could, you know, wind up back in an Oklahoma City uniform. Now that Russell Westbrook is gone, I don't see that happening. But, you know, I'm not going to say never, you know, but when you hear news like this, it makes you, you know, think that maybe he'll never end up back in an OKC uniform. He's in a Brooklyn Nets uniform now. And his former team, he has now said that he never, you know, he'd never be one of the guys. He wasn't one of the original members with the Golden State Warriors. How do you feel about KD's comments about never quite fitting in, even though he had a highly successful 3-year run with the Warriors, man, and he still feels like he never fit in with those core group of guys?
It's obvious, man. It was definitely obvious. It's like having like the hometown, like local soccer team, and then some new kid kind of moves in on the block who's from like this real nice town and who always like grew up like having
like soccer practice with like some like exclusive trainer, you know what I mean? And then like, not to say KD is that, but like it's that kid that was just always like just way much better because he just like for some reason he was just that good. And I think the thing is that's what happened at Golden State is that a lot of those guys weren't like considered that star player. I mean, you can see what when was Steph Curry drafted, Draymond, like a lot of Clay, man, like these were like okay players, but nobody expected them to plan out how they did now. Everybody seen KD's game and they always talked about him, like his height, his range, how he shoots, like it's hard to guard that type of player, like his whole dynamic, his game and everything that came with him. Everybody recognized Kevin Durant was that. So I think when he's referring to like he was never one of the guys, he felt like the Warriors just kind of had a bond that was already built before he got there, and him just kind of coming in just definitely, he's just jumping into like an already like well-developed relationship, and he missed out a lot of like the gritty stuff that molded that team to be so strong together. Mm-hmm. And him recognizing that is what he's referring to. I don't think it's a bad thing, but I think Kevin Durant just kind of wants, I think I was mentioning earlier, he just wants the glory, man. Like he wants to feel good, he wants to win good. I think that's why he didn't, even though he was up on Golden State that one season, that one playoff with Oklahoma City, I don't think he felt that glory that he was searching for. And I think that's what ultimately he wants. And if he has to do it in a Brooklyn jersey, if he's comfortable with it, I think that's why he's there.
Well, the superstar forward listed that feeling among the reasons that contributed to his decision to head to the Brooklyn Nets this summer free agency. He said he came in there wanting to be a part of the group, wanting to be a part of the family, and definitely felt to accept it. But I'll never be one of the guys. He didn't get drafted there. Steph Curry obviously was drafted there. Iguodala won the first championship there. Klay Thompson was drafted there. Draymond Green was drafted there. Now, I think the conflict that him and Draymond Green had, that explosion that they had on the sideline, I think that was big. That to me was the beginning of the end, the first. Well, they said he had, you know, one foot out the door the whole time, the whole season. Like he had, you know, put some hints and some indications that he wasn't going to be returning to Golden State before the season started. But when that explosion happened during the season between him and, Draymond Green, some words were said, you know, some choice words, questioning some man words, some manhood. I know that didn't sit well with a player like Kevin Durant, who's definitely one of the more sensitive players in the league, even though I believe he's still tough and he has a lot of heart. So he winds up on the Brooklyn Nets playing, alongside one of his best friends in Kyrie Irving, which I feel like is going to play a big role. They also signed DeAndre Jordan. And they're going to give him, you know, the freedom in the system to do what he does, which is score at a high level. But, you know, why he never felt that, you know, that specific camaraderie, you know, it's pretty simple. You know, it's that's real life. You know, if there's a certain person who moves into the neighborhood, when they become friends with the kids in that neighborhood, they're never still going to be quite, you know, this on the same level with the, you know, the kids that grew up there and had to, like you said, go through the, you know, take all the nicks and bruises and go through the struggle. But now it's on to a different situation. He has to, you know, focus on recovering and bouncing back from this injury. I saw some, you know, some clips of him getting back on his feet. I think that KD is going to make a real speedy recovery. I think it's not going to take him that long to bounce back from, you know, a crazy Achilles heel injury that he tried to fight through for teammates that he didn't quite feel like he felt in for him, but actually he sacrificed his body for his teammates. And I'm sure his teammates did appreciate that. Steph Curry actually was flying out to KD prior to him making his decision. And even when he got word of him making a decision to sign with Brooklyn, he still went through with the flight just to, you know, thank KD for his time there. Was the feeling mutual? Did they feel like he fit in with them? You know, I'm sure if you sat down with each one of them, they would have their own personal opinions on, you know, their relationship with KD. You know, relationships is important. You know, there's a, you know, it's a couple of stars that are building, you know, young stars brewing on the USA team who, you know, are Boston Celtics members, Tatum, Kemba Walker, they're building that camaraderie. But there was some shocking news with the Team USA. They took a L.
Yeah, man, that's very disappointing, man. I think today should have been a very meaningful game to the USA. It was a meaningful day to the country, a very meaningful day to me. Yeah, man, what was the score again against the France? It was like 89 to like 70, 78.
It was tough. You know they do have Rudy Gobert. I mean, it was a 10-point loss, man. 89-79, man. It's, you know, they booked the spot in the semifinals, man. They had Rudy Gobert, Evan Fournier, man. But this shouldn't have went down like this. I can't say that I'm too disappointed. Are these our best league players? No, they're not. The league has changed. The World Cup tournament has changed. I do believe if we sent our top tier athletes over there would be no competition. We've proven that in the past. I heard somebody make an interesting suggestion about sending our best under 25 players over there just to play. Like, you have to be 25 and under to play on a team, just to, you know, to make it balanced and you know, fair, because we all know if LeBron and AD and KD and Kyrie Irving and James Harden decided to play with Dame Lillard and Steph Curry, it really wouldn't be too much that anybody can do, you know. So I think that this does keep a specific balance. But, and this is, you know, this proves, you know, they eliminated. France eliminates USA from the World Cup. So it's definitely, you know, more than a balance. And we're going to have to see the way the rest of this USA Cup plays out. But the USA team is going to have to watch this from the sideline. And those, some of those young players who were, like Tatum, who rolled an ankle during this time period, as did Kyle Kuzma of the Lakers. So maybe this early elimination actually will give their bodies a chance to rest before the season is getting started. And I do see some updated information. LeBron fails to secure Taco Tuesday trademark.
Hold up, man.
It doesn't make sense. Is this hot off the press?
Hot off the grill, fresh tacos.
LeBron James request to trademark the phrase Taco Tuesday, according to files obtained by the lawyer examining the attorneys. The phrase couldn't be protected as a trademark because it's not in compliance. It's a compliance message. Oh man. LeBron has been denied his aspirations, his dreams. Taco Tuesday, they have shut my man LeBron down, man. He's enjoying a busy summer, looking forward to an extremely highly competitive NBA season, and this is not a good start for my man LeBron. This is not a good start to the season, man, coming up with an L early. This is an early season L from our man LeBron getting denied. I'm sure
he did it for fun.
I'm sure that there will be another avenue or another lane that's going to open up and appeal. LeBron, don't go out like this, man. Appeal the situation. This can't be left undone like this. I don't care what kind of term that they're labeling this as. This man has the right to profit off of something that's unclaimed out there. I mean, you can't deny this man his brand money. I mean, let him do his thing. He's got Space Jam 2 that he's filming right now. That's definitely going to be big for his business. But, you know, I'm disappointed, man. I know you said on a previous edition that you make sure that you got to catch up on Sports Vote Podcast. But I believe that you're on board with the denial, man. Speak on it.
What? I man, it doesn't make sense.
I'm telling you, man, it's a, what they say, a compliance message. I don't even know what it means, and it, but it sounds like the, it sounds appropriate. It's legit.
A commonplace. I called it a compliance commonplace.
Commonplace message. Listen, it's too generic, man. Taco is a food. He didn't make the taco. Taco's been out for Tuesday. It's the name of a day. Like, come on, man. If those are two hard words, like, it's like, come on, man.
I don't know, man. This is disappointing, man. It's a disappointing start to the season.
Love LeBron, man. No, you can't own Taco Tuesday, though, man.
I mean, why not, man? I mean, if not my man LeBron, who gonna own it?
No one.
So there it is, man. Taco Tuesday is gonna remain unclaimed for the time being. You know, but we're going to have to see how this plays itself, man. LeBron, don't let this slide. And make sure you don't let none of the episodes of Sports Vault Podcast slide.
Never.
Without you checking it out, man. B, I'm Jay Reed, man. Catch us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Instagram, all the platforms. Sports Vault Podcast.